Praise the Lord for that. Well, we're excited to be back in church this morning, and as we mentioned, next week will be the conclusion of our missions month, and we have been highlighting the great need to get the gospel around the world. And I'm going to do today what is not typical of me. I'm going to preach about missions, and I don't often do that. Certainly a good topic, but I want to preach for a little while in this vein of things about the helpers that God puts in the ministry for those church planters, those missionaries, those that are going out and about to do the work of the Lord. All of us are supposed to be workers in God's harvest, but there are some that He puts His call upon to go around the world, and I'm thankful for them, but I'm also thankful for the people who stand behind and help in those ministries and the ministers' livelihood. Well, I want you to turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 16, and we're going to look at such of these helpers. As you find your place in Romans chapter 16, we'll look at the first five verses today. As you find your place there in Romans 16, I did hear this story about these three rednecks up from my neck of the woods up in West Virginia. They got locked out of the car. They were all three riding together, and they needed to get on to where they were heading after that. And so as they got down to the car, they realized they locked the keys in. And the first one said to the second one, said, well, I know what we'll do. We'll just get us a clothes hanger, and we'll just snag it down in there and get that lock and pull it up. And the other one says, no, somebody will see us, and they'll think we're trying to steal it. We're not stealing. It's our car. We're not going to steal it, but they'll think we are, and they'll call the cops on us. And the other one said, well, what do you suggest? He said, well, I got a penknife here. We'll just cut this rubber along that backside of the glass, and if I cut enough of it, I can reach in, and then I can get the lock myself, and I can unlock. He said, well, no, they're only going to think you're an idiot. You didn't know how to get a clothes hanger so you could open it the right way, and then they'll think you are even dumb. You're not stealing it, but you're dumb. And the third guy was sitting there standing there kind of silent, but he finally said, listen, guys, he said, we're going to have to do something pretty quick because it's starting to rain, and the top's down. So all of our folks from West Virginia aren't geniuses. I don't claim to think that. But to those of you who haven't laughed yet, listen, just say, do yourself a favor. Don't laugh now. It's only going to make me feel bad and make you look silly. So just forget it. We'll try better next week. I want to preach for a little while about these helpers in the ministry, because the Apostle Paul is used of God to write this book of Romans. And Romans is a wonderful, powerful book. Many preachers would say if you could only have one that you would give somebody, say, be the book of Romans, because it talks so much about the gospel and about the truth of salvation. But in that, it's also a great missionary book, because the Apostle Paul is used of God to take the gospel to places where it has not been. And as he's writing these people here at Rome, he is telling them to thank and to give honor to some certain people. We'll just look at it here in verse number 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centria, that ye receive her in the Lord as become a saint, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also, meaning a helper. She's been a great asset, a helper. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Ephentus, who is at the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. And we will read just another verse or two later, but I'm going to stop right there. And I want to look at these people, because look at the first verse talks about Phoebe. The second one talks about some of the things that she has done and what she's been an encourager and a helper and a succorer. And then we see Priscilla and Aquila. And then we see in verse number 6, we'll get down to that, greet Mary as well. But I want to preach for just a few moments about these helpers that God puts in the ministry. And as we continue to look at this subject of missions, we get to see this wonderful thing that it's this dual action here, that there is the great Apostle Paul, and the Apostle Paul is going forward for God's glory. But then there are some people who didn't have the travel plans that Paul had, but they were greatly involved in the ministry. Look back just one chapter in verse number 24. I preached on it some months ago. But we see at the end of that verse, number 24, the apostle still again talking to them. He says, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, meaning that your dollar and your gifts got me there, if first I might be somewhat filled with your company. And so if you can understand, I can't, but let's try to think part of it for a little while. The Bible is the inspired word of God. God breathed it and he gave this book. And then all down through these years, he's preserved it. And we have a copy of it right here. We've got the wonderful word of God. And so it is the inspired word of God, but it was also a personal letter that God was using and was communicating from the apostle Paul to these people. And so what he's saying back in verse number 24, he says, I'm looking forward to you paying on my way as I'm going to Spain is where he was going. And then, but before I get there, I'm going to stop by and see you. And it's going to do my soul a lot of good just to get to spend a little bit of time with you. It's so wonderful to see all of the aspects of the scripture, and one doesn't detract from the other whatsoever. But it's wonderful to see here, and these people are being blessed by being a blessing to the Apostle Paul. So I want this morning everybody in this room to get in on what God gives us as an opportunity. If you had a friend or I had a friend that had a little parcel of land and he said, now I know it's going to be in the next 2 years, it's going to sell for 3 or 4 or 5 times what you can get in on it at, then I would want that friend of mine to say, you better buy that. If you had the wherewithal, you should get it, because that would be a good friend. Now, if you're selling a chance for some property that's lakefront in some town that I've never heard of, then don't come to me after church and tell me about that. I don't know that I want that lakefront property. But I would hope that friend would get me in on something that would be a blessing. And so the scripture is very clear that there were some people who got in on a better investment than even property that was going to develop. And they got involved with a preacher that was going to go forth and spread the gospel around the world. I remember the Crawford family when my dad started the church in we lived in a little single wide trailer there, and dad started a church in the front room, and it grew out there. And so it got a little rented building. It had been a bar before and cleaned it all out and used that. And then went from that to another building that was a little bigger, and then to another one that was a little bigger. But I remember one family that was a constant through all that was the Crawford family. Many times then that family would take our family. I've got 2 brothers and a sister and mom and dad, and they would take us out to eat after the service was over. Now they loved Long John Silver's, and I thought that all old folks loved Long John Silver's, and I thought that was my position in life. But then some years ago I started liking Long John Silver's. I don't know what in the world happened. But back then, I didn't like it very well, so I just get chicken. Chicken was still fried in the same batter and all that as the rest, but the chicken tasted better than the fish. And then I get hush puppies. And then mom would ask the lady behind the counter if she'd get those, I don't know what you call them, but it's really just the dough or the breading that got in all that grease. And then she just scoop out all these little crackling type things and put them in that little paper boat. And that'd be what you say, oh, that's horrible for you. I know. Talk to my mom, but you'll have to wait for a while. But so the Crawford family would do that. Not only that, but they also said, Dave, or whatever they call my dad, pastor, those 2 rows out there, he went out in this big long garden. He was a great gardener. And said, those rows of potatoes are yours. This row of this is yours. And he was trying to take care of the preacher. I remember that one year must have been a great potato crop, because there was this little cellar underneath our house and there was potatoes galore. They were growing eyes and these long shoots of things. As a kid, I thought it was so weird. And then you get down in those potatoes and mom said, go get me whatever, however many potatoes. You go down there, and after they stayed there a while, you grab one. It was kind of rotten, and you reach down, that bottom parts are squishy. Nothing worse than a squishy potato with this big long shoot coming out of it. So, but the Crawfords meant well. But that family did all that they could do to help the little guy that was planting the church in that area, to see him blessed because of what he was doing. And we're looking at some great people in these verses that did the same thing, just different scenarios. They were helping those that carried the gospel. And I want you to see, first of all, in verse number 2 and 3, that they did help the missionary. Verse number 2 says, she had been a succorer of many and myself also. This lady, Phoebe, was a great encourager, a great helper to me. In verse number 30 of the previous chapter, you see at the end, it says that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. And so some were giving and some were praying, but they were striving together with this preacher that was going all over the known creation. And I think about this in verse number 3 that we also looked at, greet Priscilla and Aquila. They are, if you look at it, my helpers in Christ Jesus. I do not pretend to know all that I need here as the pastor of this great church, but I do know this, that there's a lot of people, and most of them are sitting right here in this room, that you encourage me and you pray and you text and you say, hey, you're doing a wonderful job. And even when they say, hey, this thing's wrong, hopefully they say that in a nice way as well. But these people help the missionary. Watched it again last week. People in this room, as their missionaries were standing out there in the lobby, you gave them some green handshakes, hallelujah handshakes, or whatever you call them, where you fold up a $20 bill or a $50 bill or whatever you fold it up, and you give them and say, this is for you as you head on your way. I don't remember who even did it, so this is not a brag on somebody. I wouldn't know which name to call. And I don't remember which missionary it was, but it's been within the last 2 weeks. And I know this for sure, though. You'll think this is bold, but you are better off not having that $20 and putting it in the ministry as it went out of this parking lot to go help somebody. Because it truly is more blessed to give than to receive. And so I'm looking at these people in this passage. They help the missionary. But I want you to look down in verse number 4. Not only did they help the missionary, but they got out of their comfort zone and they gave past their comfort. In verse number 4, talking about Priscilla and Aquila, the Bible says, who have for my life, meaning they went to bat for me, they laid down their own necks. You can't stretch out your neck and lay it down without getting a little uncomfortable. We talked to a ministry leader the other day, Amy and I did, and they told this person who's coming on staff, say, listen, we're putting our sticking our necks out for you, so don't disappoint, don't mess up here. And when Priscilla and Aquila, they extended their own necks, that means they put themselves on the line. And so I see that not only did these people help the missionary, but they served past their comfort, beyond what was, I could do that. I read of a story, this couple, Risa and Al, they gave $5,000, pulled it out of their savings back in the 50s. $5,000 isn't anything to sneeze at now, but back in the 50s, it really wasn't. A cost of a couple cars, maybe a year's income. And so they pulled that out of their savings. They had it to do, and they pulled it out of their savings because their pastor was intent on starting this youth camp. So intent was he that it wasn't very long before he resigned the church and he went to be the director of the camp full time, which the church continued to support. And so they, over the next 40 years, they're in heaven now, but over the next 40 years, they gave again and again when they had opportunity. And for that first year, only 19 young people came to that camp. It was just young, just getting started. But as the years came on and the years came off, thousands of kids came and heard the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, largely because of that investment that this couple made back in the 1950s. I'm saying that these people in this passage and many other people, they gave beyond what their comfort zone was. And sometimes God's going to ask us to do this. I read a story of a fella and his pastor told the whole congregation. He says, I'd like for all of you to start praying for unexpected financial provisions. Mike thought, unexpected, I don't even get the expected ones. Half the time those ones don't come in. I don't know what you're talking about, unexpected ones. But at his pastor's urging, he did it. Lord, I pray you'll send us some unexpected financial provisions. He was shocked, but the next week his foreman called him in and he didn't know what he was calling in for. He thought perhaps there were layoffs or something, and he gave him an envelope, still not knowing what was in the envelope or what the meeting was for. He opened it up and in there was a check for a bonus. He said, nobody gets bonuses. Our company doesn't do that. Our factory doesn't do that. That's unheard of, but it was heard of. They gave him a bonus for the work that he had done. Well, by this point, you remember the prayer that he prayed, Lord, give us unexpected financial provisions. And now he's looking at this check for several hundred dollars. And he says, well, I don't guess I have to wonder what to do with this. He was afraid of God. He didn't want to go back on it. So he just gave it all. I'm saying that this group of people in this passage, this Phoebe and this Aquila, this Priscilla, this Mary that we see down in verse number 6, they not only helped, but they gave beyond what was comfortable to them. Time won't allow me to tell, but family members of mine got to a place where they weren't givers to the church, but they were going faithfully. But my family member that I just went to great lengths to finally get over the hurdle where they started becoming a giver. And then as they became a giver, then they said it's amazing how many things opened up to them in their family life and in their finances. I'm saying that these people gave beyond their comfort level. But there are some folks sitting here that they're saying, well, yeah, if God gave me an extra $1,000 and I wasn't expecting, I didn't have it spent anywhere and I didn't need it for anything, I'd give some to him as well. Sometimes we say, well, yes, if there's a great windfall that came into my life, then sure, I'd be generous with it. I'd give it to missions, or I'd give it to the needy. Next week, we'll take the other's offering. You're welcome to give. And we use that in the community as we're able to help different people. You say, yeah, if an extra windfall came in my way, then I would give it. But I want you to see in verse number five that it's not usually those windfalls. Not only did these people give past their comfort, but they also gave them primarily out of their substance. Look at verse 5. Likewise, greet the church that's in their house. Who's there? Well, there's a little further up. That's verse number 3. Greet Priscilla, Aquila. They've laid out their own necks. We understand that. And then it gets down to verse number 5. He says, likewise, pray, greet that church that's in their house. Now, most of you have had people in your house, and here's what we do. If Amy says, well, somebody's coming over, and I know what that means, that's code for quit what you're doing and help me do what I want to do. And that means you clean and you scrub and you push and you shove and you get everything in every closet. If you ever come over to some people's houses, you don't want to get into the closets. People, it's amazing what they say. They'll come, somebody come in the door and say, well, make yourself at home. You know, if anybody ever took you up on that offer, you would be shocked and astounded. You'd kick them out. You say, what do you mean? Oh, make yourself at home. And then they go back into your bedroom and they go back into your den. They start pulling out drawers. And you say, what in the world are you doing? You said, make myself at home. At my home, I go into all the drawers. So what we should say is, sit like a good boy or girl on the couch and don't touch anything. But when somebody wants to come over to the house, we push and we scrape and we hurry up and we spray and hose and everything down and push things in the closet. And then when the doorbell rings or the door knocks, and then we open up the door and say, well, I forgot you were even coming. Well, come on in. It's a mess. It's not a mess. It's as clean as it's ever been in the last 14 years. You did your dead level best to make it that way. But you know what it's like when you have people in your home. Well, Priscilla, Aquila, they were letting the church meet in their house. And some people in this room, you've done that same thing. You've had backyard Bible clubs. You've had cottage prayer meetings. You've had this. And that's an investment. And so what I want to bring out before I close this morning is this, that these people, yes, they did sometimes give past their comfort, but they gave of their substance. They gave of what God had put in to their wherewithal. And so I have to ask, are you giving of what God's put into your substance? This is where I work, you know that. And the church takes such good care of me. They're such a blessing. But God didn't send my money into our money into our accounts just so that we can get another car whenever the need arises to update our cars. God didn't give us our wherewithal so that we can just do another improvement to the house whenever that time comes. He didn't give it to us just to buy another suit of clothes. I believe He's put into my account, our account, Amy and I's account, some of it. It's got to go for all that. We'll need a car one of these days. We will need to update the house. We will need to get new clothes. We'll have to do all those things because we've got to live in this world. But some of that substance came in so that we can get the gospel around the world. And I have to ask, are you using your substance in some way to get the gospel around the world? Look at verse number 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Now, I'd like to go back in time, if that were possible, and be a blessing to the Apostle Paul. I'd take some money, however they could change it back into whatever they were, say, give this to that boy. Give this to that guy. I'd like to, if you could name me in the book, that'd be great too. Then God say, you don't get one because you had the wrong motives. But that's beside the point. But we're not getting in that book. But there are some great gospel ministers that are up and down our hall of the educational wing there that are taking the gospel. The Bordadoras in the Philippines. And think about the wards down in Mexico. We had a young couple in going to Mexico as well just not long ago. I'm thinking of these different missionaries. I'm thinking of the Hills. I'm thinking about all of these missionaries that God has allowed us to partner with. And then I look at what Paul said, greet Mary. When you read this thing, would you tell Mary we said hello? She bestowed much labor on us. And we're not getting into this thing because we want to have our names read. But I do want to spend eternity with people who got saved that I never met until I got to glory. And I believe, feel fulfilled in knowing that one of the missionaries that we were privileged to get to pay to be over there got to share the gospel with them. So this morning, here's the players in this story, if it were a play. You've got the goers and the senders. The goers, were, in this case, were the Apostle Paul. He says, I'm going to Spain. I'm going to stop by and see you first. If you give me a little love offering, I'm going to get on the way. God will use you to get me over there, and I'll get to the gospel to some people who haven't heard it yet. That was the furthest reach I was going to go at that point, he said. The goers in this story is the Apostle Paul. The senders, that's Priscilla, Aquila, Phoebe, that's Mary. That's the people who labored to get him to where he was going. So we got the goers and the senders. And I hate to be blunt this morning, but I'm going to be. If we look at those two positions that we get to play, the only other third one, as I heard a preacher some time ago say, the only third one would be a disobedient someone. Because either I have to be willing to go where the gospel is not given, because the Bible clearly commands that we go into all the world and preach the gospel, so we just look at all the places where the gospel isn't yet. There's so many of them that the gospel isn't, they're unreached. The gospel isn't given there. Millions and millions of people have never heard the name Jesus Christ and don't know salvation through his name. So I either need to go, and as far as I know, I'm right where God wants me to be, so I'm not that goer, so I feel like I have to be that sender. And you understand that as the Apostle Paul is used of God to write back to these people and tell them, tell so-and-so, I said hello and greet this person, there's no condemnation for them staying there because God needs both the goer and the sender. If they were all goers, we ain't gonna pay for them. I'd love for people to somebody to surrender to preach and say, I'm gonna go pastor a church. But now if everybody in this room did, I don't know where Amy and I's salary are gonna come from next week. So it's not all have to be the goer. If you're supposed to go, if God's nudging your heart to go, then please don't be disobedient to that. But I believe all of us can be the goer or the sender. Again, no condemnation from the Apostle Paul to the senders because he was greatly encouraged by them. And I'm just asking us if we wouldn't be one or the other. And so on this Mission Sunday, I'm challenging everyone. I meant to bring our little faith promise card up here, but you've seen them. They were in our bulletin a few weeks ago. They'll be in the bulletin again next week. They're out there in the lobby now. It's got a spot for you to mark between you and God, and it's anonymous. My family and I would like to give this amount for a year, this amount every week for worldwide missions. And you don't have to be a member. You know, it's completely anonymous. It's just there. You will take them up next week and we'll tally them all. But I'm just asking us as a church, if there were a piece of land over here that were just somehow just didn't get bought yet, but it was a great investment opportunity, and a developer in the church said, hey, you ought to buy this because it's going to quadruple in price in the next 18 months. Well, you'd scramble around trying to find the money to get it because that would help your financial situation, help your children, your grandchildren, and you'd be wise to do it. Well, that invitation is not given, but this invitation is given this morning that we could invest in some missionaries going around the world. And I, for one, our family, for one, we want to continue in that labor so that we can get this gospel around the world. I believe with the means that we have, with the technology that's available, with the young people who are coming up, I believe we can take a great stab at getting the gospel around the world to the unreached. We need to keep on giving it to the people who already have it, yes. We still got to keep our churches strong going forward, but there's a whole world out there that needs to hear about Jesus Christ. The goers, the senders, or as one preacher put it, the third choice is to be disobedient. And I want us to be obedient to that call from God to help put people around the world with the gospel. You say, what's so important about that message? Well, here's what's so important about that message. That gospel message that if a missionary that we have is not proclaiming this, we don't take him. And if we have one that we find out quit proclaiming it, then we quickly take him off our support roll. The gospel that those missionaries are given is that the Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of mankind. And that as he died on the cross for the sins of mankind, everybody, regardless of nationality and origin and anything else, Romans tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever would believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ can have their sins forgiven. That, my friend, is the gospel. That's what's preached here, but then that's what these missionaries that are going to go around the world, that's what they're going to proclaim over there as well. And my friend, if you're here today and you say, I don't know much about this mission stuff, maybe it's because in your heart you haven't received Jesus Christ as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins. The message I just gave you in a short minute or so snippet is that same message that the missionary is going to give around the world, only in more detail, and we give it in more detail as well. But if you're here today not sure that you know Jesus as your Savior, my prayer and plea is that you would come to faith in Jesus Christ today. And then this morning, if you're saved, I believe that every one of us ought to be a helper to those missionaries. You say, how much money are you trying to get out of us? I haven't even thought about it. You say, my money couldn't be that much. I don't have enough to give. But I tell you what, you may not and I might not have, but your $5 plus my $5 plus somebody else's $10 plus somebody else's $20 plus $100 here or there, all of it coming together, and we would collaborate together as a body, and we would come together as this church, and we would put it behind the efforts of somebody going around the world. I'm telling you, folks, it's a beautiful plan. I'm thankful for Preacher Lassie right here that years ago led this church to get to know our missionaries. Because there's a lot of churches that you don't really know. You just give into a program, and probably lots of their missionaries are getting the gospel around the world. That's not a criticism. I just like this way when our missionaries come in and they show their presentation on the screen and you get to meet them out in the lobby and you get to see their kids and you get to shake hands with them and you get to get that image remembered and say, that's who I'm praying for. I'm so grateful that Faith Promise Missions and missions where we do it hands-on like we do now was started years ago by the preacher. And I want us to continue being those senders. If God's dealing your heart to be a goer, then by all means, don't pull back. But if you're where you're supposed to be, then my friend, I'm just asking you to ask God, God, what can I do to be a sender? Would you bow your heads together with me? Lord, I'm grateful for the chance to get to give. And Lord, I pray that my friends don't take this as a beg for plea for money. Lord, none of what we just spoke about is helping anybody's salary in this church. It's not even helping this church. We pay for the utilities out of other the general fund. We pay for improvements out of other funds. These missions dollars, they go to missionaries. And Lord, so I pray that you would knock that thought out of anybody's mind. But I believe we've got a great opportunity. We're standing at the threshold. And I'm thankful, dear Lord, that we've got a group of people who want to go forward for you. Bless us to be those senders, I pray. And Lord, if there's one in here that's not saved, I pray today would be the day they come to Jesus Christ in salvation. Please, I ask, dear Lord, in his precious name. Well, if you're able to, I'm going to have you stand as Miss Devin and Miss Marianne play something on the instruments. And as they play and God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. Maybe you're here this morning and you're the one that, as I mentioned, you don't know Christ as Savior. You're not sure about that. Oh, my friend, would you slip down here to the front, and we'd love to take somebody and have somebody rather and take the Bible, show you how you can be saved. If you're here today, not sure that you're on your way to heaven, my friend, there's no greater message that I could give. If I had that piece of land that was going to be sold for $2 million in 2 years and I didn't offer to sell to you, I offered to give it to you, you just hold it and then the money will be yours. That wouldn't be as good a deal or as precious of a message as the fact that Jesus loves you. Because that land and the money you got for it is going to perish. But that salvation is eternal. If you're here today, not sure you're saved, step out and come, would you? I'd love to take a Bible and show you how to be sure Jesus is your Savior. And then maybe there's some other needs you have. Maybe you need to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're going to vote on one here in just a moment that would like to join. Thank God for that. Maybe you'd like to join the church as well. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Maybe you need to be baptized. After you're saved, you need to follow Christ in baptism. You'd like to come present yourself for that. Whatever your need is, I encourage you to mind the Lord as they play one more verse. And as Daniel prepares for baptism, we'll look forward to seeing somebody follow Christ in that. Thank you so much. You may look this way. If you're able to stay, you can be seated. We're going to see someone follow Christ in baptism. An exciting thing. This young man knows he's saved. And Brother Daniel's getting ready back there right now. But I want to give you a couple of announcements just while they're, or not announcements, but prayer requests while he's getting ready. I want you to be praying for Miss Mary Ellison. Hopefully she'll come home from over at UT. She had to go back over there to the hospital, but she's doing well. I got a text earlier this morning. Praise the Lord for that. And so please keep Miss Mary in your prayers if you would, and that she get home soon. And then I want you to also be continuing to pray for Caleb Foran. This is Nathan and Becca's son. He got to come home last night from over at Vanderbilt, and we're praying that God would just raise him up, strengthen him, get him some weight on. And Brother Nathan gave a report about that in the first service, but you can ask him. He's up in junior church now, but you can ask him later. But he's home. They're grateful that he is. Just praying that he strengthens up and gets some weight. That the Lord would allow that to happen. And then want you to keep on praying for the Briggs family and the Deacons family and the loss of their loved ones, and just trust in the Lord that He would comfort and strengthen them. And then just a word as we make this vote. It's exciting to have people come and join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And we're looking at Jared somewhere. Oh, right there he is. Sorry. Look at Brother Jared Wills. And this is Brother Jeff and Janine's son. He's been a blessing to us since he came up this way. I thank God for him. But he's saved and baptized and wants to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We would just need a motion to do that. Brother Leroy Shepherd makes that motion. And Brother Bob Edwards seconds that motion. All in favor, say aye. Aye. Opposed, same sign. Praise the Lord. Motion carries. And we're thankful for Brother Jared being here. He's a great blessing and encouragement. And we thank God for that. And as we prepare here, I guess we are prepared. Nice shirt. Okay.
I don't have a microphone, but we are excited about today and thank the Lord for what He's doing in our church. And the Bible says in Acts chapter number 6, verse 42, it says they continued steadfastly in the... I started in the wrong place, but it says that they that gladly received His word, verse 41, were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We're excited today. Brother Axel Williams, come on down here, Axel. He wanted to talk to Brother Kyle after church on Wednesday night, and he came to him and he talked to him afterwards, and Axel decided Wednesday night to put his faith in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. His dad Garrett got baptized a little while ago, and so we're thankful for that. So Axel, I'll have to turn this way, brother. But based on your profession of faith, Axel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with Him by baptism and death, raised to walk in newness of life.
Amen and amen. Thank the Lord to see folks coming to Christ last Wednesday and following Him in baptism today. What a joy. And this is just a rejoicing time. And thank God for the Williams family. And they've been so faithful. We're certainly appreciative of them. And appreciative of you being here today. If you stand on up together, I want to thank each of you for being here together with us. And as we do come, I pray that you'll greet some folks on the way out and just thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Again, if you helped with the ladies' meeting this past weekend or this early part of this weekend, thank you so much for being involved with that. And what a joy it was just to get to spend time greeting the ladies and helping them in. And then thank you, Miss Francie, and thank you all of those that labored behind the scenes to make that happen. So with that being said, thank you for being in church this morning. God bless. You're dismissed.